The views and opinions of this podcast are solely those of the creators and do not reflect any streaming service or platform. This podcast contains strong language and contrarian viewpoints that may be objectional to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Three Geeks in a Microphone podcast. I'm Dean.
I'm Art.
I'm Russ.
And today we have a special guest today, Maria, who is a cosplayer. She does work in Ghostbusters groups. She does work in...
G.I. Joe.
Thank you. G.I. Joe, Cobra, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So today we're going to be talking about the general topic, cosplay, cons, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you very much for coming on. Tell us about your background. How'd you get into it?
Cosplay actually got in later in life. Well, yes and no, because I went to cons all my life since, like 11 or 12, my dad would take my sister and I to Star Trek cons. There used to be one in the Flint area.
Yes.
Yep. But, and as I got older, I'd occasionally go to cons. I'd see people dressing up. And then finally, I decided I'm going to try dressing up in cons. And part of it is I have a chronic pain condition called trigeminal neuralgia, and I have trigeminal neuropathy. And one of the things that I was told is the best thing you could do is find something you enjoy and do it. And that's the best pain medicine. So I found something I enjoyed and I did it, and it helps. And as I said, it's a community within itself. So, you know, you join the community and you get to know people. And I guess that's kind of how I did it. And I just started out as going as Velma. And actually, when I was going, there wasn't many Velmas. Now there's a lot more. And I got known for that. And I got to start chit-chatting with people. And they'd ask me to join their groups. And I'm like, sure, why not? And it's harder to be part of a group than I think to be more casual. So sometimes I struggle with that. So I'm not really officially a part of any groups per se. I think the one that I could say I'm officially a part of is G.I. Joe, the Cobra group that's based in Michigan. Actually, though I watched G.I. Joe, I was never really into G.I. Joe growing up. I was very familiar with it, but I actually joined it just because they're such hard workers and they do it for a good charity. And the guy that was always there, Eric, if any of you have gone to cons, I'm sure you've seen him. He's just like, well, can you... we need more women. Can you just dress up? And I went on the website and I got the specs for a femme trooper and I did that. And so that's how I kind of became part of G.I. Joe. Ghostbusters, I have a pack that I made. I have several suits that I wear and I help them out. And then one of my friends, Charlie, has a Star Trek group, and I haven't done anything with their group yet, but I do have an outfit because I'm a big Trekkie. I grew up with Star Trek. So, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Now, forgive me, I might have missed it. How long have you been doing this?
The actual cosplaying, probably, I'm going to say 5 to 6 years.
Okay.
As far as being part of a nerd and part of geek culture, all my life.
Welcome to the clubs. Everyone here is the same. Mm-hmm. In fact, our last week's episode was on how we realized we were geeks. Kind of a walk down memory lane.
Yeah. So if you know me for like 5 minutes, you'll know, oh my goodness, she is. Yeah, she's a nerd. She's a geek. She is it. And I guess, and I don't know why it seems like I'm being a geeky woman in this kind of community, it's like considered hot. And I was like, really? I'm like an enigma or something.
Well, it's kind of a ratio thing, too. I mean, if you look at the number of guys that have been geeks over the years versus the number of women that are actually cool or into it, it's really, I mean, it's a matter of ratios, really.
Yeah.
Because what guy doesn't want somebody that's into the same things that he's into, and then he doesn't have to justify, like, hey, I'm going to a con this weekend. You know, they can go do it together.
But, you know, I think that cosplayers are like, and geek, they're the hardest to date, though, I have found. I have dated a few, one who just, and I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but I've learned that there's definitely a lost boys syndrome going on in the geek community. Scared to grow up, being older, kind of nostalgic. And it's like, you know, it's okay to be an adult and love these things, you know, but and growing older is definitely a fear. And a lot of them are self-professed immature. And, you know, they kind of use that as an excuse. So those are one of the things that I've kind of realized in the geek community. That's why I generally don't date in the geek community.
Gotcha. I mean, I don't cosplay. I think the closest I ever did was when I went and saw episode one, I went in full Jedi costume. Mm-hmm. But other than that, and I would kill for a set of stormtrooper armor. But other than that, I don't. And but some of the stuff I see out there is simply amazing. The level of detail that goes into some of these outfits is absolutely amazing. I mean, Arts talked to me just about the level of detail on proton packs, and it blows my mind.
Yep. People spend like $500 to $1,000 easily on just one proton pack, and generally they will have more than one.
Wow.
Guilty.
Yeah. I think, Art, did we meet in...
yeah, we met at FanFest.
Yeah. Yep, and I guess I don't know, I stood out a little bit.
Well, you were like the only one there in a pink jumpsuit.
Yeah. Well, there was a few Janines there, but I wasn't a Janine.
No.
So and you get plus
the googly eyes. Oh my goodness, when I put googly eyes on my pack, it like a few people who are diehards really hated that.
Wow. So you do Ghostbusters as well. Mm-hmm. So you said you guys met at FanFest. Walk for our listeners that don't know, walk us through that. What is it?
FanFest was once. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Art, you go.
FanFest was the Ghostbusters 35th anniversary celebration that was hosted at Sony. They started like on a Friday night at the Globe Theater. We watched the first movie with the celebrities from the film. Well, they did kind of an intro, basically. I don't know that they actually stuck around. And then Saturday was like an all-day event at Sony. And then there was supposed to be a Sunday event, but they cut it short. So it was a lot of fun. The after party Saturday night was probably the best part.
Art, which after party did you go to?
The one with Video Bob was there. Ernie Hudson's son was there. Tom Gebhardt. Candace was there. I don't remember what the name of the bar was. I'll be honest. The minute Mike Nelson and I got off the train, we went immediately to the dispensary, and I had never been to a dispensary before. I always had jobs until I retired where I had to have licenses. So and regular drug tests, like programming licenses for life safety equipment. I was doing design and things like that. I had never done any marijuana or drugs or anything like that. And mm-hmm. We went into this shop and this woman was showing me, I said, I kind of walked in and I was like, so what's a popular thing? What's recommended? You know, what do you like kind of things? I didn't know what to buy. She's like got a small brownie in her hand, and she said, well, these are called space cakes. They're 210 milligram brownies. She goes, these are popular. And she goes, she kind of looked at me. She goes, well, would you like to sample one? And she's holding it out in her hand, and I took it out of her hand and ate it, not thinking that was the whole brownie.
Oh, dear.
So I pretty much spent the entire event baked out of my gourd because I bought a lot of brownies. And I kind of looked at her, and everybody behind the counter, their eyes were like saucers. I mean, they'd never seen anybody do anything like that. And I'm like, look, I'm from Indiana. I thought that was the sample. She goes, no, I was just going to cut a little piece off. I was like, well, it's good, you know, and it tasted like Skittles mashed into a brownie.
I want to interject because I was at that party and I was baked off my gourd. and no, it was like because we had a long day in the sun and everything. And with my chronic pain, I hurt. And one of the Ghostbusters, he's like, here's I have some edibles. And I took a half of one. He's like, oh, no, they're light. He's like, take another. Or he's like, just finish it off. You're barely going to feel it. Oh my gosh, it was bad. I don't remember much. I mean, I remember the after party, but I remember Candace coming up to me and she was just talking so fast. I'm like, who is this weird looking woman who just keeps talking to me? And I started back up and she's like, I think she's scared of us. That's what I remember her saying. And I backed up into somebody who I was with, and then they kind of grabbed me and took me away. And they're like, oh yeah, this is bad.
Ironically, I kind of had the same experience with her, too. And I couldn't stop staring at Sean, her boyfriend.
They were matched in, like, these Hawaiian shirts, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, like, little sailboats or something on them. And I couldn't stop staring at his top. And I was like, because I was so whacked out. But, yeah, I think I bought like $200 or $300 worth of stuff while I was at the dispensary, and not to mention the fact that there were people around that were handing it out.
Mm-hmm. Good Lord.
But you know, a lot of like the Michigan Ghostbusters, they're not, I'm not saying I think what's weird is I'm probably out of all of them, like the most unlikely, like, and when you think about it, like demographically to do it, but I'm probably one of the only ones that does.
Okay. So.
Standing out isn't always a bad thing.
Yeah, no, it's just because it's interesting. As I said, when people, you know, they're like, oh, you do that? And I'm like, well, yeah, occasionally. I don't do it all the time. And when I do it, I just, you know, it's fine. It doesn't, you know, because people have these stereotypes of stoners and people who do them. And I'm just like, well, let's see. Considering that I have like a very broad education and I'm actually very successful in my career and I'm educated than most people, you can't demean me for doing it because I have two very beautiful kids who are doing well. As I said, I have two bachelor's degrees, a master's degree, and right now I'm getting my doctorate. So I have a full-time job where I'm a nurse practitioner, I'm a provider. And I'm very well respected in my field. So it's just like, so yeah, tell me again.
So just to back up from one thing, you mentioned the G.I. Joe group you're in. They do a lot of work with charity.
Yeah, with they children. Do it with Canines for Warriors, like vets.
Nice.
Yes. And honestly, it's a good group. I very much respect the group. I started going, Ghostbusters I'm not really a part of as much anymore. Kind of moved away from them for several reasons. But when I'd go with them, and I'd usually be Velma, Eric would be there alone. And he puts his heart and soul, he builds all these things. He might have one or two people that show up occasionally. So, you know, he's just like, hey, you want to do this? I'm like, you know, and I'm a glutton for somebody who needs help and doing something good. So I'm like, yeah, sure. And, you know, he's just like, well, you need to dress up as G.I. Joe. I have some outfits that are just pre-made outfits, or you can go onto the G.I. Joe website. There's another name for it, but simplify it, G.I. Joe website, Cobra website, and they have a manual, and they basically tell you exactly where to get it and how to get it. Okay. And so, and of course they have like one woman's outfit, which is the female trooper, which if you guys look up the female trooper, it's a skin tight blue outfit. It's one of those, what do you call those suits? Azenta suits.
Okay. Right?
And it just has like a cobra logo on it, and you wear big black boots. So, and basically every male Comic-Con's like wet dream in so many ways. and he knew exactly what he was doing, so he knew how to get people in there. And so I started going as that, and then he took pictures of me at a con, and then I just submitted them and officially joined their big group. Yeah, it's interesting because honestly, as I like being a trooper because my face is covered. It's everything is there. You know, it's just like it's a skin tight outfit. I can't hide crap.
Right.
So you know, it's like I don't, you know, and I don't, I'm not really into like the sexuality part of it. I just like being the character. And some, like when I do the Baroness, and I'm like the third choice for the Baroness, because you guys have to understand, I'm short. I'm 5'2", and I'm not, and even though I say that I can wear a skin tight outfit, I'm not skinny. I would not describe myself as skinny in the least. But I am curvy. So they don't want me as the Baroness per se, because you know, when you think of a Baroness, they have so many other good ones that show up. So I'm like kind of the third choice. But when I am those characters, I do draw a lot of attention. And I do act a certain way. I act like the character.
Okay.
Just like I act like Velma. So, and I've noticed, you know, you get a lot of where then if I go into public and I'm dressed as me, nobody gives me attention. No, and I have a story like when I was Astronomicon. Have any of you been to Astronomicon?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, it's a fun one. It's a big one though, and if you have like PTSD, I do not recommend it unless you're well medicated. And I can help you with that. But anyway, so they have stars there, well, like you know, like the celebs, and one of them is, he's not really big now, but in college he was at Red Wings. I don't know if you know him. He was a and I don't know if I can say his name, I don't know. He does a lot of work in the community, but anyway, he was a Red Wing, and I'm walking past him, and literally like he rubbernecked like so much. It was just so obvious, and it was embarrassing. So I got a bunch of free pictures with him, and that was nice because I did follow the Red Wings when they were big in college, and it was just kind of a thing to do. And so that was very exciting. I didn't realize how much attention that, because I'm oblivious to the attention that I get. So that was kind of a nice experience.
As far as cons go, current things notwithstanding, do you have a favorite that you like to go to? And when things are normal, how often do you attend cons?
You know, we have a con, like summer to fall is very, very busy. I don't generally have a favorite con. I've actually, one of the cons that I do not go to and I do not enjoy, I've been there a few times and then I just stopped, is like the Motor City Comic Con. I cannot stand that one.
The only one I've ever been to.
Yeah. It has the bigger draw. It has, you know, and it has the bigger people in it, but it's so crowded, just so crowded. It's just not fun. But honestly, I think the most favorite con that I've been to is one last year, the last con before COVID, the Midland Comic Con. Midland had a little tiny Comic Con, no big draws at all. But it was really just what cons were about. It had a bunch of vendors. It had, you know, it had a few groups there, like cosplay groups. And I was, G.I. Joe was there. It had a contest. It was just, there was no celebrities. It was just awesome. It was bigger than they thought it'd be. It was a big draw, but it wasn't super packed because the mall is big and empty. And it was just very nice to be part of that con. It felt like a true con. Really, people were just great. So I'm going to say right now that was probably one of my more favorite ones. But otherwise, I just like cons. I like going with the groups. I'll stay at the booth, but mostly I walk around. And then when people want pictures of me or talk to me, I will be like, hey, I'm part of this group. Come visit. Go over there. And we're doing a good cause. So.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
Yep. And it's fun, like, when you have, because we will have, for our Cobra group, we'll have the Cobra Commander and two troopers, and I'm one of the troopers, and we'll walk around with Cobra Commander with our guns, like, we're escorting him. It's fun. when I'm Velma, I'll go around with a magnifying glass, like, say, you know, jinkies, and get a lot of pictures, and I have a lot of fun pictures. And a lot of them are actually posted on my Instagram site, Baroness Velma.
Okay.
And I picked that one because people are like, oh, why did you pick that? And I'm like, well, because they're, honestly, I wear glasses and I like my glasses, but they were two strong women, really, in cartoon women growing up. So I kind of just said, okay. And so I kind of made that my handle, Baroness Velma.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, to people that don't do cons and whatnot, there's, I guess, for lack of a better word, a, how would you call this? I guess a stereotype of the unwashed masses in a con. Is there any truth to this that you see when you go, or?
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. It's like, come on. Deodorant, people. Deodorant. And I think some of them think that I actually dated a guy who thought that he didn't need deodorant. I don't have body odor. And I'm like, you don't? and it just, it became kind of awkward. I mean, he didn't necessarily have like a strong, because he was clean, don't get me wrong. But sometimes I was just like, dude, there's this thing called deodorant. You can get it even at the dollar store. And what? In fact, if you asked for it, I'm sure your friends would give it to you. So, no, it is. It's the truth. Yes, there are. Yep.
Well, I did work downtown, and when Motor City Comic Con was coming around, I could always tell because I would see more and more people in anime outfits or whatnot. You know, I'd go to lunch and there's throngs of them all over the place. And I never went, and because the traffic sucked down there, it was a pain in the ass anyhow, I would always see, as it got closer to con, more and more people. And then the day of, it was just a madhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would see groups of, I saw a group of furries one day going to my local Coney. It's like, they're all sitting in the back and they didn't want to take their heads off. I'm like, well, how are you going to eat if you're not? But now, do you see, for lack of a better word, is being a gal in this space, do you ever get any pushback from guys? Like,
you know, I
basically pricks?
No, not really, because many of them don't even approach me. They'll look at me. I've had people secretly take pictures of me too, which is kind of creepy. But honestly, I haven't really had an issue. The issue I've had is more of actual group members taking liberties and thinking that my niceness or my cosplay or my, like if I'm Baroness Velma or, you know, something or Baroness or Velma, or they think that they have a chance with me, but they don't necessarily see if I'm interested. I've had issues with that. Rumors, and in the cosplay community, if you're a woman, you really do have to kind of watch it because, issues I haven't really had is with the people at the cons, but the people who are in the groups.
Really? So it's the groups themselves, not for the bulk of people that are going to the cons.
Yeah.
I have noticed, though, kind of like sitting and watching on the outside, there is a lot of drama in a lot of groups. Yep. And it's not just Ghostbusters, but I'm starting to see it, too, in the Star Trek groups, which is really weird. And I don't know. I'm not trying to diminish what you're saying by any stretch of the imagination, but it's like, I don't get it. I mean, we're all here just to have a good time. I guess I don't understand why there's drama everywhere. And it's not just between guys and girls. It's guys on guys, girls on girls. It's insane.
And Dean, I just sent you through Instagram some of my pictures some of my cosplays. They're by means, not all of them.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. So, oh, very nice.
So, also, my daughter does it with me.
Ah, okay.
My son refuses, But my daughter will do it. I sent you some of the pictures of her. She's been Daphne for me. She's been Sergeant Slaughter, and she's a Ghostbuster. Or sometimes we just put stuff together when it's just me and her going to a con. Just, you know, whatever we have, we put together. So.
Okay. Well, this is good for me to know. My stepdaughter loves doing cosplay, specifically anime characters, but she's big into this, and I'm not, so I'm learning. Now, where do you see the hobby going in the future? Do you see it getting bigger, or what do you predict its future is going
to
be?
No, because I don't want it to. It could. I actually try to do a cosplay group around the time that COVID started. I didn't expect it to grow and the kind of attention, and I realized that was just not me, so I had to stop it. I'm just like, sorry, this is not my forte. As far as if I'd want to do it professionally or say that I was a professional, I think I would have to win a few cosplay contests. Personally, I'm not that original. And then, you know, you get invited personally usually, and you have your own booths. And it's a lot of attention, and it's just not something I like to be part of a group or just go as an individual. I don't really perceive it's changing. I do like, as I said, being a part of groups, but I've learned the hard way. I have to be very careful in groups and more reserved.
Okay.
Just because of the psychology of a group.
Sure. Now, of all the characters you do, is there one that you want to do but haven't done yet?
Oh gosh, there's a ton that I would love to do. I love horror. Horror is my thing. I love horror movies. I love horror. I love the genre. I would love to be like an alien, like the queen alien.
Oh, nice.
The queen. Oh god, I would love that. That would be one of my dream cosplays if I could ever pull it off. Let's see. I really didn't finish it just because COVID started and you just move away from things like that. Skeletor. I started it. It's by no means done. And Art, you saw my Skeletor, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I actually have some designs for Skeletor mask that I started for Dean.
Full disclosure, Skeletor is like my online handle, if you will. All my profile pictures are all of old Bonehead. So it's kind of my thing.
And I found out that I can't do latex on the face because I tried to do a latex mask and latex glue, and I broke out. Skeletor. I love the 80s cartoons. And I love, you know, people like choose easy cosplay or sexy cosplays. Like, there's one big group, cosplay group that's kind of well known, but to me, they're just store-bought costumes. And it's okay. I mean, I can see having one or two store-bought costumes that you add on to, because I've done that many times. But it's just like, okay, so you went to Amazon and you bought it, and great. Now you're, you know, and they don't even really act like the character. They just, okay. Well, to me, that's weird.
Well, Russ does a really mean leather face.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry I've been quiet. I'm just listening. But yeah, that's one of the things that it's kind of fun to hear someone who has more experience, because I've just done a couple of the Comic Cons, usually small ones in my area, just as Leatherface. And I, when you're talking about how people just do the store bought costumes, I so get it, because I have the mask that I have. It's custom made from a guy off of eBay. And then you go to a Comic Con and there's like 10 other Leatherfaces, and everything is cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. And it's all the usually it's the new modern Leatherface, where I do the original 74 because I'm a tall, fat guy. It worked out great. it's just kind of seeing the same store-bought. You just kind of.
Well, yeah, it's just like, come on, you know, at least add to it. You know, it's they're great. It's great that they're so available, but there's just something you got to make your own. Like my Velma, it took me years to perfect her, and I appreciate seeing other Velmas, but mine is the most authentic I've seen. I'm just gonna tell you that, or the most put together is the best. I don't know how to, because I don't want to take it away from like the other Velmas at all.
Personalized.
I've seen some good ones, but mine definitely I feel is at a higher level than a lot of them. But simply because of the time I put into it.
Now, one thing I was going to ask you, I just happened to think, because you see people who do their homemade cosplay, their costumes, and sometimes they just look horrible. But you almost have more respect for those that are putting that effort and having fun than this person that just goes down and buys their Spirit Halloween off the rack.
Definitely. Because it just shows, you know, because they took pride into it. And you know that they took pride into it because they feel that they can wear it out. Because a lot of us have social anxieties. I'm going to say all of us pretty much at cons have social anxieties. None of us are as much. And I think that we use the outfits to be somebody else to overcome those anxieties in some ways. So, yeah, when you see somebody who has done that homemade mask and they're coming out, yeah, give them respect because that's like awesome. It doesn't look exactly right. No, but I'm not a stickler for exactly right either. I think that you can add to it, and sometimes that improves it.
Yeah.
And you make it your own.
Yeah. It's like you said, add to the store-bought ones. The store-bought ones, sometimes they're a great start, you know, because my mask itself, I didn't make that, but of course I bought it from a guy who custom made, but to see someone else with a such a generic look that you can,
it's like,
yeah,
it's,
well, you put pride into it, you put thought into it, and store-bought generally isn't a thought. It's like, ooh, they just look on the Amazon or a cosplay, oh, I like that, and then they just basically they go to a con, and there's less soul to it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't necessarily see them, you know, enjoying it. You know, that's the thing, is they're not the character, they're just the costume.
It's almost like they see something in advertisement. Oh, it's a costume party. And it's like Comic-Cons are not a costume party. It is, but it isn't.
Yeah.
Some of those people, too, it's more of a joke to them than anything.
Yeah, that's I wasn't going to come out and say that. But that's kind of how I feel sometimes when I see someone. They're walking around a Comic-Con. They go there to meet one celebrity that they have a crush on. And then they walk around in costume. Oh, look, it's a comic book. It's like,
yep.
Okay, your Velma cosplay, for example, how long did it take you, A, to put it together, and B, to get it where it is now?
Years, honestly. I have like, gosh, at least 4 to 5 wigs until I found the one that I really liked. I have several skirts, several different variations of sweater, several different types of socks. And so it really took me years, and I still fiddle with it. And then there's like, I have sexier versions of her, and then just who Velma is. And it's funny because when I'm at cons and I get attention with her, and people are like, all like, oh, wow, you know, you're so hot, you're Velma and all that stuff. And I'm just thinking, I'm literally like from head to toe covered. In fact, I don't even like, I don't even show any type of skin except my hands and from the, like, basically because I have a turtleneck from like the chin up, because I wear like these thick, like tight leggings under it. And then the socks, and just kind of, I try to, you know, to me, she's not necessarily a sexual creature. But then at the same time, I've gone to like after party events where I make her a little bit more sexy. I show my midriff. I put glitter on my body. I got boobs, you know. But that's not necessarily my cosplay of her. That's just more having fun.
Sure.
No, literally for her, she's kind of, I don't think that any outfit, if you're, is necessarily complete. I think especially if you love it so much, you're always changing it and varying it and making it your own. So with her, as I said, I just, you know, during the summer I have like lighter clothes, during the winter I have heavier clothes. And it's just like that with my Ghostbuster. I started out with a beige flight suit. And then when I realized, you know, everybody's wearing the beige flight suit, I look like I'm wearing a potato sack in it. And I just wanted something that was more feminine. I did the pink, which I'm very lucky. I think that it looks so good. And now I have a black one too that I do. That is when you buy, but I bought them, you can't buy them through the regular Ghostbusters site and the flight suits they use. They're unisex, mainly for men, and they just never fit me well. So I do the women's jumpers or the women's boiler suits. And I find, but again, from when I started to now, I have like four or five suits and some of them I had to buy kids suits to see if they fit me because I'm a small men's size. And for the Ghostbusters, it's just like that was just, it just didn't look good. It was still too big. So finally, I'm just like, okay, well, I can't necessarily do it exactly right, so I'll do it my own way. So I find the pink outfit. And actually, I'm really surprised because the pink outfit, people love it. People love it. And actually, kids love it. I don't know if it's just because it's pink, but I'll have, when we're at, because I just don't do Comic Cons with that. I do charity events or community events, like this trick-or-treating with kids, those trunk-or-treating, and we'll have the Ghostbusters there. They love my pink suit, and it's a draw, and that is very nice. They have a ton of people in the beige and black suits, and then they have the pink suit woman who is all bubbly, so I attract kids.
That's cool. Well, it's also different. You don't see it very often. I'm looking at the pictures you sent, and that's amazing looking. That's really cool.
Yep. And it's my own. And then my pack, even though my pack is, you can very much tell that it's a proton pack. I put my own spin on it. And actually, I got the cheaper spirit pack. I'm not going to spend, the $500 or more for, you know, one of those shells and build it. I don't have that time or attention span, unfortunately. So I just modified, somebody helped me modify it to make it look a little bit more realistic. And then I added more personal touches, like shiny stuff, stickers, googly eyes, because kids love that. And I don't want to scare off kids where, you know, a 6-foot man in a proton pack isn't necessarily the most kid friendliest looking person unless the kids know the Ghostbusters.
Right. And well, the best part is they see you and, hey, what's this? Oh, it's Ghostbusters. What's that? And now you've now introduced them to a movie series they may never have seen before.
Yeah.
So it kind of keeps it going.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's fun. But back to the original question, any of my cosplays are not complete as is. And they'll always be complete enough, but never complete for me. I will always be working on them.
It's like the artist that's never satisfied with their own work.
Yeah. Well, we all should grow, and things should change as we grow. To be stagnant is rather boring. So, but I love, and as I said, I love cosplay. There's times that you have to move away from it. There really is times that you have to move away from it, though, or the community, because it can get rather...
It does get toxic.
Yes. I've had, it's funny, the rumors I've heard about me, and I'm just like, what? Who is that? What?
Jeez.
It's like, do I have to be there for the rumor to even start?
Oh, good Lord.
Do I have to know their name? What?
Now, I know, for example, like in the Star Wars community, unfortunately, we're starting to see a lot of like gatekeeping. If you don't like this, you're not a true fan, things like that. Do you see that in what you do in Ghostbusters or G.I. Joe?
No, those two groups, I do not see it at all. I really actually see those groups are smaller. Well, Ghostbusters is kind of big. There's so many Ghostbuster groups. I know a lot of them, but there are ones that I simply don't know. And things that you guys might not know about the Ghostbusters, there's like a baby boom going on right now. There's like quite a few Ghostbusters are expecting. I'm like, wow. Really? Anyway, they really, if you can not to say that there's not a lot of drama in between groups and within groups, because, oh dear God, there is. But they are very, all of them are very like, yeah, show up. You got the stuff, show up. Very inviting.
Nice.
And like the G.I. Joe group, Eric, he's just like, I have costumes. And actually a lot of the other Ghostbusters, like Ghostbusters, they have so many extra. If you just show up, they can give you what you need. You know, they just want you to enjoy it. And a big part is they want you to look like you're enjoying it. Because if you're like, I'm not going to do that, it's just like, then why are you here? You know? So that's actually what I can say about those groups is show up. And, you know, they usually have extra. And they might not be movie accurate or cartoon accurate or anything like that. But really, they're just looking for the bodies and the people that enjoy it. And that's the one thing I can say about those groups that is great.
It's kind of like, it almost reminds me of like the 501st Legion. Mm-hmm. I love what they do with like children's hospitals and stuff like that. It's amazing, but to get in is difficult.
Yeah. And they're, you know, I see them. I mean, I know a few not personally. I don't know actually any of them personally per se. I know of them. I might have had a few conversations with them, but I find and I think that they're great on so many levels, but at the same time, I agree with you with what you're saying.
I mean, I'm a geek. I would love to have a full suit of Stormtrooper armor. I just think it would be really neat, but.
Yeah. If only you knew somebody that had a 3D printer for.
Right. Well, cost wise. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk after the show, Art.
We always do. Like, right now, I'm working on some comm badges based on the Sternbach design.
Okay.
Star Trek The Next Generation. I know that's kind of off topic, but.
That's one of the things. If I ever lose a little bit more weight, I would love to do Vader. Because being 6'4", it's always irritating to go to a Comic-Con and see Darth Vader with lifts, and I'm still taller than they are. It's like more like Dark Helmet from Spaceballs.
That's always been on my back burner of things I've wanted to build is a Dark Helmet.
That'd be awesome.
That would be.
And that's one of the things I've talked to Mike Nelson about off and on for years. In fact, like 3 years ago, I actually bought a lot of the stuff needed to make one, and it's sitting in a box around here someplace. I got sidetracked probably with Ghostbusters stuff. I need to get back on that. Well, I know it was kind of off topic, but.
Maria, let me ask you, if you meet a young girl who wants to start getting into this, what advice do you give them?
I definitely say do it. Find a character you love and that you can play. The thing is 70% of it is creating the costume, finding the costume, creating the costume. A very small percentage of it is parading around. I would definitely encourage it and just to go to cons. I would never, I wouldn't say join a group, because I think a lot of people, they see a group, they're like, I need to join that group. It's so great. And it's going to kill your dreams. It's going to make it work. You know, so I'm going to say, you know, and I say to people, don't necessarily join a group. And I've seen a lot of cosplayers who I don't know necessarily starting out, but they don't necessarily go to cons or know about cons or how to find cons, but they've done it like it's on a smaller level locally. Then they got to know, oh, there's these big groups. This is how I'm going to make it. And then they realize, oh, no, it's not like that at all. You know, not that you can't have success with these groups. But again, you get into the groups, you get enthralled in the group. There's certainly a mentality in them. And I think I would say do it for a few years on your own. Know who you are first. If you want to join a group, because you can grow with a group or you can be stagnant with a group. So that's what I would say. But just enjoy it. Do it for fun. The minute you start doing something because you're expected to sign up for so many groups, you're at so many events, and they're told what type of events that you have to do, it ruins it. It absolutely ruins it.
It's no longer fun at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I agree, because I wasn't taking part of any groups, but a small local horror group wanted me to become part of their group because of my leather face. Right away, they're like, we need you to be at this place. I'm like, I ain't doing that. I didn't agree to be a part of your group. I don't know what, you know, they were like trying to sign me up without my permission. And right away, they're ordering me around to go to an event. And I'm like, bye.
Yeah, it's like there's certain groups that are like, well, there's so many people signed up for this one, so you can't go to it, but you can go to this one, and we need people at this one, so do this one, and you have to do so many groups a month to stay in, and it's just, it's like, okay, and usually the bigger cons or the cons that are the draw that you want to enjoy, you're not going to go to with that group because they already have enough people signed up for it, and those people are going to go and represent it, and not you. Unless you are more well-known or more favored or, you know, just kind of know the game more. And that just takes away from it, I feel.
Well, you know, interestingly, I was reading the other day, I caught an article from Kotaku Japan where, you know, cosplay is huge over there. And specific, well, I guess a little bit of everything, but more a lot of anime cosplay. And I was reading that the Japanese government is about to change their copyright laws to like a massive overhaul. So they, as an example, they were talking about this gal. She does professional cosplay and she makes like $90,000 a month, but the people that own the rights to the characters she does don't see a penny of it. So now they're changing their laws over there to where you now have to pay a fee to cosplay as this character. And from what lawyers are saying, it's going to spill over into social media. So if you post yourself as a copyrighted character, you can now get banned under Japanese law.
But you couldn't you get around that by, like, doing a character, you know, because you see those toys at dollar stores. A different name, a different color shirt.
Oh, right. If you switch, from what I understand, if you switch it up and it's an original character or you're just doing it for fun, you're fine. Except when it comes to social media. I guess they're going to start monitoring social media accounts. Specifically, they mentioned specifically Instagram, and if you don't have a license, or what's the word I'm looking for, if you don't have a license for, if you're not licensed to use a licensed character, Instagram will ban you. But this is only in Japan. We haven't seen this in the U.S. yet.
I don't know if we would see it in the U.S. just because, you know, look at Disney. They don't they're very how should I say it? Big brothery, but at the same time, so many people cosplay, and it almost helps them out. So if they were to do that, they would even look like more big brothery and evilly. So, you know, and look at like the 501st, they're not a part of Disney.
True, and well, like for example, a couple blocks from me, there was a small mom and pop run daycare. And on the windows, they painted, you know, Goofy and Mickey. Well, Disney found out about it and threatened to sue them if they didn't remove it. And this is a small mom and pop daycare. Kind of makes you wonder, but I don't know. I think you're right. It probably won't happen here, but we'll see.
I think it probably have a lot more to do with how much money someone brings in. If you're doing it like me as a Leatherface, I've never gotten a cent. And no one really cares about Leatherface when you think about it. But when you look at some of these characters, they're bringing more publicity to their here in America, where the lady making, what was it, $90,000 a month?
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a bit of money, especially when you stop and realize some of those people that are working in the creation of a character like that don't even make that much.
Right.
So I could see where there's that fine line where I could see where it would almost be like, well, like with Instagram, if a person, because I know if you get so many followers, then they start paying you or something like that. I don't know. I'll never reach that level. But if you start making money because of what you're portraying versus just portraying it, then I could see where they might start wanting to get a little bit of their get in on the action.
A greedy world. That's the thing, is we're a greedy world. And what's sad is the people who want to make the money off of it are already rich, already making money off of it. But they're like, hey. Yeah. Bad.
Yeah.
You can definitely see that.
So as far as like Saturday morning cartoons, what was your favorite that you remember, the earliest ones?
Shoot.
Or that may have had the biggest influence on you as a kid.
You know, there's this one that was, I would wake up at 5 a.m. when they'd start but they were over about 10:30, 11 o'clock. You choose the channels because, you know, the big three would have theirs. Let's see, Gummy Bears. I remember Gummy Bears bouncing here and there and everywhere.
Yeah, I just watched that a couple hours ago.
It was more of a girl one, Wildfire. I'd watch that, about a magical horse. And then you'd have like the ones, He-Man and Thundercats. They weren't the Saturday morning cartoons. They were on when you got home after school in that like block, that 5 to 6 block, or, you know, after school specials block, mm-hmm. usually. So I didn't watch those on Saturday mornings per se. Or like when I'd wake up in the morning, like every morning, like Fox 66, like before school, would have Gem and G.I. Joe and Transformers and Aladdin. Those would be like for the kids, you know, like getting ready for school. I remember that. But then the morning, I remember Q-Bert. Yes. What was the one? Dungeons and Dragons?
I love Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes. That was, oh gosh, yes. Yeah, all those were ones that I followed. Of course, the Smurfs, which now we watch it and we're just like, damn. They let us watch that as kids, huh? Damn. So
when did you know, I consider myself a geek. So when did you know, I'm a geek?
I've always thought I was a geek. Because the thing is when I was like 6, 7, or 8, we would play like X-Men I grew up in the country. We had like 16 acres. We'd go out, we'd play G.I. Joes. We'd make our own guns, you know, and we'd follow the comics and we'd follow, you know, and then I remember also when X-Men, I think it was more when I was older though, that X-Men actually came on the TV, and it was just hard for me to follow because I loved the comic books, and I grew up with the comic books, and I was so enthralled with the comic books. But, you know, playing those characters, I always knew, and I was always identified as a geek, or a nerd. It's never not been a fact.
Nice. Do you, favorite toy as a child?
Oh, gosh. He-Man and She-Ra, those were probably my favorite. My sister and I would play with those for hours.
Do you still have them?
No, but I have some as an adult. You know, it's funny because my father always told us, keep them, they're going to be worth money. And, you know, we're kids, we didn't care. I have Castle Grayskull, and as a joke, a friend got me a Fisto. Oh, my God, Fisto as an adult. I'm like, holy shit.
That is so not right.
And then when they get, I set this picture out of me and Fisto on a pillow laying in my bed. And... Okay. To my friends, God. I'm like, really like the gift. That's I'm just awesome. Like, it's just like, I'm like, this is so dirty. It's amazing. And then the memes, you know, I'm going to fist him as hard as I can.
I just couldn't fist him anymore.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, I always laugh watching Toys That Made Us. The He-Man episode, and how they basically admitted that they were trying to see what they could sneak past to a certain degree.
That doesn't surprise me.
Merman's original name was supposed to be Seaman, and they couldn't get it past.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just laughing. It's like, now it makes sense.
And then, like, the whole Smurfs thing, like, you watch it and you're like, dang. And just even more, like, and then He-Man is just like, he's so, why did we think that he was not gay? I mean, just the intro alone, that what he says, I take this sword.
Fabulous secret powers.
Were revealed to me.
Wow. And that's how the trans community got acceptance. I don't know. It was just like, wow. There's so many metaphors for that and how you lead a double life. And
okay, and here's the huge question. Favorite cereal as a child?
Oh, gosh. I had so many favorite cereals. You know, I can't even say one. I loved, again, ruining childhood, Smack. Remember Smack with the frog?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Honey Smacks.
Yeah. You know, the little vaginas.
Hang up. Oh, gosh. Great. Now I'm never going to be able to eat those again.
Why not?
Without thinking of that.
Eat the vaginas. No, they're good for you.
Well, they're brown. There's something wrong with them.
That's a whole other conversation. But anyway.
And they're also sticky. It shouldn't be sticky like this.
Again, no comment. Anyway. Eat the vaginas. Enjoy them.
You know, I always wanted to do a YouTube video of Moose Knuckle Crunch cereal and use fortune cookies in the box, but I could never find like people to help me film that. I wrote a script for it back in like 2014, but yeah, it just never happened.
We're gonna have to make that happen, Art.
Yes.
So, Jesus.
And again, now fortune cookies are ruined for me.
Well, you know.
That's what friends are for, Russ.
That's okay. I never liked them that well anyway. Always got stupid fortunes out of them.
Just make sure you remove the paper before putting on the milk.
I wasn't sure if he was talking about cookies or us. I was really never that fond of them anyway.
Ouch.
Oh, jeez. Oh, Maria, thank you very much for coming on. It's been an awesome conversation. Would at some point, would you like to come on again?
Sure, yes, yes.
Well, we would definitely have to do this again.
Yes. I'd like to kind of, next time we do this, we need to kind of expand. Maybe kind of go down your memories, since we're all around the same age here, kind of walk down memory lane with you, see what we dig up.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd love to come on. This was fun.
Good. Thank you very much. Guys, any last word?
Oh, it's nice to meet you.
Yes, thank you very much for doing this.
Yeah, this
thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah. I'm glad Art asked me. I said this. I was just like, what? I'm a female cast. I guess I am, because I just don't, you know, it's just weird.
Well, the thing is a lot of people really don't understand it and know that much about it. And and you're pretty out there with it. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. You do your own thing. You're proud of what you do. And I think other people hearing that might help them.
Maybe. Yes. Hopefully. You know, I think that definitely, you know, and my advice to cosplayers are just get your outfit, whether it's store-bought or not, make it your own. The thing is now cosplay is so much more mainstream. You don't even have to do it at a Comic-Con. You could go to the freaking mall and do it. So
that's what people are doing at Walmart. Jeez, yeah, man, all this time. Yeah.
Explains a lot, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, it's just like I do it at charity events, sometimes at work. I've gone to work in like my Wednesday outfit and nobody, you know, my hair and braids, nobody.
That is awesome, though. You make it mainstream.
Yeah. Definitely.
Has anyone ever caught on at work?
Not really, no.
I have to admit, I used to do that same thing. I would get like a gray, like collarless, like cashmere sweater and wear like a red turtleneck under it with black khakis and see if anybody caught on that I was actually dressing like I was on like The Next Generation or one of the films or Deep Space Nine. Nobody ever caught on.
Art, I've seen pictures of you sitting at your desk wearing a Vader helmet and mask. Come on now.
That's true. I used to do that. I'd go to work wearing that Vader helmet. And I'd answer the phone like that too. You know, salesman didn't get back with you. Perhaps I can find new ways to motivate them.
Well, thank you very much. And to our audience, we will see you on the next one.